Okay, you said you had a question for me?
I do have a question
I'm
for you.
ready.
The Alexander technique is often studied by people with chronic diseases because they find it quite helpful, even though it might not cure their chronic disease like Parkinson's or MS or whatever they happen to have. It really helps them feel a little bit better and gain some control of it. And I want to know what you've heard about that, maybe your experience with that. I just ran into someone yesterday who has Parkinson's and had heard about the study of Parkinson's and the Alexander technique that was done in
Right.
England a few years ago.
Right,
And
yeah.
she said she runs a support group, and she said that study, showing the Alexander technique, was beneficial to Parkinson's patients. She said that study is the only proven effect beneficial therapy for Parkinson's.
Oh,
Do you know
absolutely.
anything about that
Oh,
and other
sure.
chronic diseases and how the technique's useful for them?
Just to talk a little bit a second about the Parkinson's study, that was done in England, I think 2 or 3 years ago, maybe longer. The big problem with it is it's a fairly small scale study, as I remember. It's nothing like
The
last
back
year's
pain.
back pain study, which was huge, hundreds and hundreds of participants. I think the Parkinson one had a relatively small number. But I could well imagine that having lessons in the technique would be useful for some people. I sure wouldn't want to promise anything very specific to anyone ahead of time about it, though. Just based on my own experience and working with people with Parkinson's and some with MS, which is fairly limited. I mean, I maybe a dozen students altogether in my whole teaching career, I'd say about half the time I really didn't think there was much I could do. I didn't get a sense that lessons were helpful, and it could be because of my teaching. I mean, that, a lot of those times were years ago, and I taught differently than I do now. But I could well imagine that, even a teacher far more talented than me might not be able to help some of those people. And some of them I was able to teach them ways to simply make the best of what they had available. That's really all you can do with any Alexander lesson.
I actually do think, though, that it is, maybe to varying degrees, helpful to most everyone. I sincerely believe
Oh
that.
yeah,
And
we both believe
and
that.
also, yeah, of course, and you do too. And I think what happens is when you have a chronic disease, it's really great to be able to gain some control, gain some, even if it's a small
Right,
ability, to make
that's right.
yourself feel better. And you will. You'll be able to take away a little bit of pressure. You'll be able to get rid of at least a little bit of tension. And so you have something you can do to make things a little bit easier for yourself. And I think, and it's something you carry with you, you know how to do, you get better at doing that. I think that is helpful for people with chronic disease. And for Parkinson's, to the extent, I believe from that study, they talked about it was helping people learn how to stop movement as well as how to start movement. That would be the control, the, not maybe not a total control about of that, but just a little more help in that realm. A little more of an idea, at least what they're
Of how to
signaling.
stop, how to say no to a
Yeah.
habitual movement. Well, I can well imagine. I mean, learning how to say no to a habitual movement is kind of at the core of the Alexander technique, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely,
I
but
mean,
also
so.
how to start movement.
Well,
How
of
to signal
course,
the
right.
start.
But I think if there was going to be an election amongst the Alexander world of trained teachers, and we could hold it right now,
Are you running for something?
I'm running for position one, which is that
As
that saying
Alexander
the
would say, is that a
ability,
position of mechanical advantage?
the not that position, that's a whole nother Alexander concept, and we are not going to go into that here now anyway. But that saying the ability to say no to a thought and or a movement, and whenever there's a thought, there's certainly a movement, and whenever there's a movement, you know there must have been some kind of thought. The ability to say no is would probably get more votes as being the most important thing about the technique than the ability to say yes to something. What do you think? Or you might be on the other side of that. I just assumed everyone was with me.
I think certainly the ability to cancel a signal or inhibit, as it's technically called, technology, I think that certainly is core to the technique. But I also think that...
But if you had to give
another
up...
I think there are three things that without one another... this would not be the technique. And inhibition is absolutely one.
So inhibition, just for our listeners, means learning how to say no, how to prevent a thought or movement that you might habitually do. Okay.
Yeah, basically how to cancel a signal.
How to cancel a signal, sure. Or how to, maybe it is even how to prevent the signal from coming in the first place. Is that a possibility?
That's a different aspect of the technique, I would say. That's okay. One of the other ones I was going to mention.
Okay.
And that one would be, we call it directing or direction in Alexander, but what it means is you learn to give a set of these very constructive directions or signals. Or directions really is a good term for it. Directions of movement that decompress your body.
So a classic example would be, something like I'm letting my neck be free so that my head can go forward and up so that my back can lengthen and widen, and multitudinous variations of that, right?
Right.
Those would be a classic Alexander directions. And when I read that out, I'm not revealing really a hidden mantra of the Alexander world that I shouldn't be letting out of the bag, right? I mean, it's... the words by themselves are not likely to do a whole lot of good for you unless you have some really clear experiential idea of what they actually mean. Would you?
That's true. Absolutely.
You know, so it's not like, I'm giving away the Alexander secret here and you really don't need a teacher. Chances are you do, although I've always maintained that there's a good chance if you really were interested, you could probably get along pretty well without a teacher, but you'd have to have a special kind of dedication, I think. What do you think?
Oh, it's because it's so easy to fool ourselves.
Exactly.
So easy to think we're doing one thing because it feels like it.
Right.
Yeah.
So just to return to the original theme of our conversation.
Yeah, we did get off track.
We got a little off track, but we'll just make it a dual conversation. Coming back to somebody who has a chronic disease, could you say something directly to them about what might be the most useful thing that you could get from it?
I think really you can learn to reduce stress.
And how would you define stress? Because that's a word that gets...
I actually would define it both mental and physical stress.
Mm-hmm.
And emotional stress. So I would define it in the whole scope of it.
Mm-hmm. And you think the Alexander technique can get rid of stress at all those levels, or release?
Absolutely, yeah. At least a little bit. I mean, it doesn't totally get rid of it. It certainly might if someone had that strength of will, but likely we just, you know, because sometimes people want to feel stress or think that's the right reaction to a situation, and it takes a while for them to be able to say, no, maybe I'll experiment with not feeling that reaction. Anyway,
okay, so if I'm someone that has a chronic disease and I'm listening to this conversation right now, what kind of practical advice would you give me in terms of, like, if I go and find a teacher near me, how many lessons would I... How much time and money should I put into this before I would have a clear idea that this is helping me? And what kind of help would I expect that might be a little different from what a typical student might expect?
Well, I would think that it would be useful to have a minimum of 10 lessons. You know, more, I'm sure, is a lot better. But really to have a number of lessons before you even, it's tough to do, but before you even rule on whether you understand it or not, even though as a person who's never experienced it, you expect to, you know, be figuring it out pretty quick. But it sort of changes what it is, the effects of it really change and change your idea of it as you go along. So I think at least 10 lessons. And I would think you would expect then to have a way to, when an episode of the chronic disease is really in notice and progress flaring up, that you would be able to just very slightly undo a little pressure. Whether that in fact would change the actual effects going on of the chronic disease at that time, whatever it is, if it's excess movement or lack of movement, whether that would immediately change it, I don't know. It might and it might not. Mm-hmm. But even if it doesn't, you're actually learning a way where you're at least triggering the stress cycle less. You're taking away some of the repeated trigger of the stress cycle.
So you've got to really be in an open-minded frame of mind, so to speak, and approach this as something that you give a little time to deciding whether it's useful for you or not. One thing, the thing about pain in my own experience is that when you're in pain, or when I've been in pain, it's not real easy to use any of the Alexander processes at first.
If you're not that familiar with them.
Even if you are familiar with them, you have to really trust in the process that, because you're so interested in the pain level, or at least I am trying, you know, that if I do some directing or some inhibiting or whatever, any Alexander process, and I don't notice a difference in my pain level, I might not be very effective, because my attention is constantly going away from my attention's leaving my intention and going back to the pain. So it's a special challenge. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I think, you know, you just.
I'm not saying it's not possible. I'm saying that for me, when I'm in, if I'm in pain, which isn't very often, fortunately, that I get a little lesson in humility about the Alexander technique, because I realize that I gotta really think this one out. You know, what's causing my intentions to disappear?
For me, when on the, luckily the rarity, also very luckily, of pain, the first thing I think of is the Alexander directions. That's the first thing. I bump my funny bone. Mm-hmm. Immediately, I'm up there. I'm like, release that neck, so my head can lead my body upwards into length and width. I'm like right there with that primarily, just because I find that the pain doesn't last as long. And it also kind of is, it equalizes in my body. I call it equalizing. It helps me not isolate to the pain, because if I isolated to the pain, it would take much longer to go away. If I come back to my whole coordination, the way you learn to do in Alexander, then it really passes a lot more quickly. And so that's usually, because I've had that experience so many times, I just go to that right away in it. So so I'm sure it's different for everyone in that.
Well, so we could leave this as, if you do have a chronic disease and you've read a little bit or heard a little bit about the Alexander technique, give it a try. It could change your life. What do you think?
Absolutely. All right. Absolutely. I think you just learned some skills.
All right. We're going to end there.